Good morning, and welcome, friends. It's so wonderful to see you all this morning, to have us all joined together in community. Someone said to me this morning, it seems odd, we just missed one week, and it feels like we haven't been together for a while. So I hope you had a safe and uneventful snow day last Sunday, but it's wonderful to be back together this morning. And I especially want to welcome any visitors or friends of members who might be here this morning. We're especially glad to have you here with us, and we'd like to invite you to come downstairs and have a cup of coffee following the service so we can get to know you a little bit better. And if you'd like to learn more about this congregation, I will be holding a session in the fireside room, which is the room with the fireplace right back there, following the service. And I'd love to get to know you a little bit better myself. So if you'd like to stay for that, meet me there following the service. Go down and get a cup of coffee and bring it back up if you'd like, and I'll see you there. We invite you to bring all that you are, your beliefs and traditions, gender, race, class, sexual orientation, and the wisdom of your years to this congregation. You are welcome here. In our presence, may you always seek your truth, speak your truth in love, and live your truth through service. And through all your days and nights in our presence here, may you experience love. Our opening words this morning are from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. This hour in history needs a dedicated circle of transformed nonconformists. Our planet teeters on the brink. Dangerous passions of pride, hatred, and selfishness are enthroned in our lives. Truth lies prostrate on the rugged hills of nameless Calvaries, and people do reverence before false gods of nationalism and materialism. The saving of our world from pending doom will come not through the complacent adjustment of the conforming majority, but through the creative maladjustment of a non-conforming minority. Sometimes it's hard to see the truth. It's so close, so pervasive. To become maladjusted, transformed non-conformists, we have to understand the water we're swimming in. And so we light our chalice this morning for the light of understanding the ways that racism divides us and how we treat one another. Tears. How many did you say? Aunt Eliza asked. Nine little bunnies, born last Friday. Eight of them look just the way all the others in the family look. Snow White with pink eyes and pink ears. But the ninth, Mother Bunny began to cry, the ninth, it looks all different. He has brown spots all over and blue eyes. My poor little Spotty. I'm so afraid that Grandpa may not like him. Grandpa has never known anything but white bunnies in the family. For him, that's the way bunnies should be. I dare say this is a problem, Aunt Eliza said. Let's go and see them anyhow. Nine little bunnies were happily munching leaves and chasing each other all over the woods. There's Spotty, Mother Bunny said. Why, of all things, Aunt Eliza exclaimed, brown spots all over. I've never seen such a thing. Don't you like brown spots, Auntie? Rosie said. She was playing nearby and had overheard the grown-ups talk. I certainly don't, Aunt Eliza said. Go and play now, Rosie. I like Spotty, Rosie went on. When we play hide and seek, he always wins because he's much harder to find than the rest of us. Don't you like him? Of course I do, Mother Bunny replied. We love Spotty. He just looks different, that's all. What's different, Mom? Stop asking questions, Rosie. Go and call the others. It's time for dinner. For dinner, they had lettuce and carrots. Now they were all in bed waiting for Mother Bunny to say goodnight. I heard Mom and Aunt Eliza talk about Spotty, Rosie began. Aunt Eliza didn't like his spots. I wonder why. I like my spots, Spotty said. I think I look pretty. Yes, you are pretty, Rosie said, and Mom said she loved you. You just look different. What's different? Spotty asked. I don't know myself, Rosie said. Just then Mother Bunny came in. What's wrong with brown spots, Mom? Rosie said. Why, nothing. Nothing's wrong with them, Mother Bunny replied. And what does different mean, Mom? Stop asking questions, Rosie. It's time to sleep now. Tomorrow's Grandpa's birthday, and we'll have to get up early to go to his birthday party. And Mother Bunny kissed all the bunnies goodnight. They were getting ready for the party when Aunt Eliza came and took Mother Bunny aside. How about Spotty? She asked. My advice is to leave him home. Why, I couldn't possibly, Mother Bunny exclaimed. You know how upset Grandpa would be if he saw Spotty, Aunt Eliza said. Do you want to spoil his birthday party? I don't know what to do, Mother Bunny said weakly. I don't want to hurt Spotty. But you certainly don't intend to spoil the day for Grandpa and all the family, Aunt Eliza said firmly. Mother Bunny finally gave in, so she had to go and tell Spotty that he had to stay home. It's just because of your brown spots, she said. I'm so afraid that Grandpa may not like you as well as the others. I wish we could take you. I wish we could take you, Spotty, but we'll bring you something nice from the party. But, Mom, you can't leave Spotty home all alone, Rosie cried. He'll have a nice, quiet day at home, Mother Bunny said, kissing Spotty goodbye. And Spotty could not say a word. And then they all left, and Spotty was alone. Spotty didn't even touch his breakfast, and usually you could eat all day long. So he had to stay home because of those spots of his. And he had thought he was pretty, but maybe he could get rid of his spots. Spotty went to get the bottle of spot remover. No, that didn't work. What now? Spotty thought and thought, and then it came to him. He would run away. That was the thing to do. It would make it easier for Mom, and maybe for him too. And so he wrote a letter to let them know, and then he would go. Dear Mom, he began, I love you all, but I have to leave you. Maybe sometime. Here he did not know how to go on, so he just signed his name and put the letter on the table. Then he started to leave, but turned back at the door. I better take my breakfast along, he thought. And then he really left. And it was getting dark. Spotty had roamed the woods all day long. At first it had not been so bad, in fact, rather like a picnic. But now it had begun to rain, and he felt tired and lonesome and a little scared. Where should he spend the night? Maybe he could go home after all. But no, he had left that letter. Spotty sat down under a tree, feeling very sad. Good evening, sir, somebody said, and Spotty looked up. And there was another rabbit standing right in front of him. Nasty weather, isn't it? The rabbit said. I just came out for a little air. Spotty stared at the newcomer. He had brown spots all over and blue eyes. He looked just like Spotty, only bigger. You seem rather tired, the rabbit said. Come in and meet the family. My name is Brown. Mine is Spotty. How do you do, sir? Spotty said. And all of the Browns looked like Mr. Brown, brown spots all over and blue eyes. This is Spotty. I met him in the woods, Mr. Brown said, and these are my children. They said hello to Spotty. They were all gay and happy. They did not seem to mind their spots one bit. And Spotty began to feel quite at home. He looked around curiously, and then he discovered one more bunny. It was hiding in one corner, and nobody seemed to take notice of it. It was all white, with pink eyes and a pink nose. Who's that? Spotty gasped. Mr. Brown lowered his voice. That's Whitey, she said. Well, she is not quite like we are. And Spotty's mouth was wide open. Grandma had never seen Whitey at all, Mr. Brown went on. She was so proud of the family, everyone with those pretty spots. She would be upset if she saw Whitey. It worries me very much. "I cannot understand this," Spotty suddenly burst out. "I have to go and tell you something. I've got to tell you something important. My family looks just like Whitey, every single one of them. And Mom did not take me to Grandpa's birthday party because I have spots, like you all. So I ran away from home, and now I come here, and everything is the other way around. I just don't understand it." There was a long silence, and they all seemed puzzled. "That does seem strange indeed," Mr. Brown said finally. "Your family not liking Spotties, and our family not..." "But I do like Whitey. I always did," one of the bunnies broke in. "I only thought the others..." "But we all like Whitey," the other bunnies began to shout. "We only thought that Daddy..." "Who said I did not like her? I've always loved Whitey," Mr. Brown interrupted them. "I was only afraid that Grandma wouldn't because Whitey looks different." "But then, why shouldn't she look different? It all seemed pretty foolish when I come to think of it." They got Whitey out of her corner then and hugged and kissed her. "And Whitey looks so cute, just like Rosie," Spotty said dreamily. "I always thought I was pretty," Whitey said, "and I never could understand what it was all about. I'm so happy you came, Spotty." "And now to bed," Mr. Brown said. "Tomorrow's another day. Spotty, I'll show you to your room. Good night and happy dreams." Spotty was much too excited to sleep. So much had happened since that morning. First, it had seemed as if there would be the worst day of his life. But now it seemed as if things might still turn out all right. Spotty felt like running home that very minute to tell Mom and Rosie all about it. And then Spotty had a wonderful dream. There was an enormous table with carrots and carrots and carrots and bunnies all sitting around it, so many that he couldn't count them. Spotties and whitey one and white ones, big ones and small ones, and Spotty himself was sitting right in the middle of them, and they were as happy as bunnies can be. But that was just a dream, and not many dreams come true. It was late when Mother Bunny and her children came home from Grandpa's birthday party. "I wonder whether Spotty is still up," Mother Bunny said. "I'll run inside and see," Rosie replied and went off. She was back in a minute. "I can't find him," she said. So they all started to look for him, but Spotty was not there. And then they found the letter. Mother Bunny read it, and big tears began to run down her coat. "Oh, my little Spotty has run away," she cried. "Oh, I wish I had not left him home alone. What am I going to do?" "We'll all go out and look for him," Rosie suggested. "It's too dark now. We'll have to wait until tomorrow," Mother Bunny said, wiping the tears off her eyes. Her coat was all wet by now. "My poor little Spotty." "Don't worry, Mom. We'll find him tomorrow," Rosie said. But she was worried herself. Mother Bunny just couldn't go to bed. When all the little ones had fallen asleep, she tiptoed out of the house all by herself. The night was cold and dark, and Mother Bunny was scared. But she had to find Spotty. She wandered about for hours, looking everywhere, calling out his name. But she couldn't find him. There was no Spotty. It was a lovely morning. The rain had washed the faces of the flowers clean, and they were smiling at the sun. But Mother Bunny didn't smile. "Hurry up, all of you, and get ready to look for Spotty," she said, "while I prepare some food to take along for him." And she went down to the cellar. 8 bunnies were all set to go, and they were standing among the flowers in the meadow waiting for Mother Bunny to come. And suddenly, Rosie jumped high in the air. "Look over there," she shouted, pointing towards the woods. "I see something coming, and it looks like lots of Spotties." And that's exactly what it was. The Browns had gotten up bright and early that morning, and they were on their way to see Spotty home and to meet his family. "Mom, Mom, come quick," Rosie shouted. Mother Bunny rushed up, and then she couldn't believe her eyes. The whole meadow was full of Spotties, and among them, one little white bunny. Ahead of them all, safe and sound, was her own Spotty. "Spotty," she cried, and then he was in her arms, and she hugged and kissed him. And then it was Rosie's turn, and then came all the others, and it was quite a while before Spotty could breathe again. "This is Mr. Brown and his family," he said finally. Then he began to tell all that had happened last night, and that it was a lot. Everybody listened in silence, and then he had ended. Mother Bunny did not quite know whether to laugh or cry. "Why, I don't know. I don't know what to say," she said, and she turned to Mr. Brown. "You know, I've always loved Spotty just as much as the others, but I was only afraid of Grandpa, dot, dot, dot." "But that's precisely what all of us were saying," Mr. Brown said, and then they all burst out laughing. "Well, I guess we were just a little foolish," Mother Bunny said, "but it's all over now. Oh, I am so happy," and she gave Mr. Brown a big kiss, and then everybody kissed everybody, and everybody asked everybody's name, and everybody laughed and danced and sang, and the noise could be heard 3 miles away. And then they had a huge party. There was an enormous table with carrots and carrots and carrots, and bunnies were sitting all around, so many that you could not count them, spotties and white ones, big ones and small ones, and Spotty was sitting right in the middle of them, and they were as happy as bunnies can be. Not many dreams come true, but Spotty's did. The end. Anybody ever heard that one before? By Langston Hughes. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love where never kings connive or tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be the land where liberty is crowned with no false prophetic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, gain, power, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman of the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today despite the dream, beaten yet today, oh pioneers, I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. And yet I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned, that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed on those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home, for I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's pain and England's grassy lea, and torn from black Africa's strand I came to build a homeland of the free. The free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today, the millions shot down when we strike, the millions who have nothing for their pay. And all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for their pay except the dream that's almost, almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be the land where everyone is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me. Who made America? Whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again? Sure, call me an ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain from those who live like leeches on the people's lives. We must take back our land again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain, America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the lands, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. Here ends the reading. Okay, my friends, I've written about 25 sermons this week. And I finally pared it down to something that I hope is a digestible chunk for all of us. But I want to